This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Oh, it's the beginning of the week. I know you gotta be feeling good though. You shook off that weekend, shook off your Monday, and now it's time for your drunk uncle. Let the music play and we're gonna get into it. Amazing, so damn amazing.
We live for days of no crime.
True.
We need more scholars, deep minds, less drug dealer, more leaders shining, plus more father figures, less time in. It's so real, it's coherent. No fees for comfort, it's so weird. Let music bring back the soul, yeah. Love all people, that's why you can feel.
All right. Ah, yes. It is now that time. We are back. Recording this on a Tuesday because I knew I was going to have some coordinator availability, and I kind of wanted to wait for the best time to do this. And so I didn't want to really start something on a Monday and not really have something really fresh to present to you. So I decided on a Tuesday that it would be time for your Drunk Uncle's Sports Podcast. And I am your drunk uncle, Anwar Richardson. Welcome back. Guess what, guys? Episode 59. How about that? Which really doesn't mean anything. Episode 60 is coming up soon, though. And that would be kind of cool. But 60 won't really matter as much as like 75. You know, 60 is kind of like, all right, you've done 60. 75 would be like something special. 100, what are we going to do? We're going to broadcast from what, like a strip club or something? Like where could we set up with good Wi-Fi? I'm just looking for ideas. You know, we got to figure out something special to do. Maybe get some of you guys out somewhere and let's just do it from there. I don't know. But we've got to make episode 100. We got to do the damn thing. That's all I got to say. That's all my thought process is as far as where we are from the Drunk Uncle's perspective. How is everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well. Spring football is right around the corner, and I mean right around the corner. We're only a couple of days away, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, but we're only a couple of days away from Saturday and this spring football thing happening. The guy Ludacris afterwards, which is kind of a weird, interesting choice because I feel like Ludacris is kind of cool for a lot of us older folks. I'm not quite sure how many of the younger people are listening to Ludacris. Like Ludacris hasn't come out with an album, I think, since like 2006, if I'm correct. I have to look that up. Okay, so check this out. So I did look it up. You know what I did? I just actually hit pause. So check it out. So Chicken and Beer for guy. Okay, and let's go back. So back for the first time, that was in 2000. Word of Mouth was in 2001. Chicken and Beer was in 2003. Now, he did Red Light District in 2004. That's when you remember the Austin Powers. I went in the Red Light District. Literally, these guys know Ludacris for being in like a Fast and Furious movie. They don't even know Ludacris as a rapper. So it's going to be really interesting for me to see what is the young people reaction to it. And I'm also curious to see how much he got paid. I have heard through the grapevine that there are not going to be condoms in Ludacris Rider. For those who are unfamiliar, when he performed at the University of Georgia, he wanted condoms as a part of his rider, of course, with some cognac, this and that. And so, yeah, apparently UT is not going to go that route with him. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, but hey, it's still a fun event. Kansas got Rick Ross, by the way, which is How did Kansas pull off Rick Ross? Why is Kansas spending that kind of money on football? Then there's that second thing too. That spring game is right around the corner, so we're going to definitely get into that. I got some ideas for that. So my weekend, let me tell you about this. And for those who don't know me, first time listening to it, I do curse. That's just kind of how I talk. I just talk to you how I talk in the living room. So if I cursing offends you, probably not the greatest podcast for you because I don't know when the shit's coming out. It's just coming out. So if you got kids around the car, mama's in the car, your pastor's in the car, deacon's in the car, you've got the kids' soccer team that's in there, whatever it is you're trying to listen to and you just think like, probably not going to be the best thing. If you got me on at work, but you got me on the speakers at your job, just turn me down a little bit, put the speakers in your ear. But, you know, you guys know how I do. All right, now let me tell you something. Let me tell you about this shit, though, that happened over the weekend. Marriage is tough, dude. And I can see why. Sometimes I just feel like I'm not built or cut out for it. Like, sometimes I just think, like, you know what? I should just be a single pimp forever and just stop this thing. Here's why. On Friday, I get a text message from my wife. No advance warning. No pre-plan. She got a dog. Just out of clear blue, got a dog. What? No, we didn't say, hey, and we've talked about like the possibility of getting one, but we've never actually cemented like we actually were going to do it. You might talk about it. Well, I need to get him to chew a friend or this and that. She goes, and it's cool. She goes to Death Row to get a dog, Humane Society. And she gets this dog that is like, I don't even know what the damn dog is. It's a mutt, and I'm cool with mutts. I really, you know, we've got a Shih Tzu, so I'm actually cool with a mutt. This mutt is like 12 years old, was just put in the system, but she didn't do any vetting on this dog. Let me tell you, this damn dog is a small dog too. It's like this dog can't be 8-10 pounds, whatever cocker spaniel thingy, whatever, just jungle fever of doggy relationships that occurred, right? Just two dogs from the other side of the tracks that were just like, my parents are going to hate this. And like, screw your parents, we're in love. And it's like, nah, we're actually just in heat. And we're just going to have some babies. So the jungle fever of baby dogs is what I have, or at least the offspring of this thing. And this damn dog, I have like a gates that are around my home. It's really weird in Twin Creeks, by the way, because in certain parts and sections, they actually have metal gates that are around your home. And I think it's because it's close to where the golf course is, but I'm still kind of weird. It's kind of a weird jail to live into. You know, you just feel like you need to do sit-ups in the yard. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just kind of weird for me, right? So this damn dog has been able to go through these bars twice and get away. So the first time you just think, okay, but maybe there was something that was open and that's how the damn dog got out. Second time, it's like, oh, no. This damn bitch is an escape artist. It's the female too, by the way, so I am not cursing in this particular instance. So this bitch is like a female escape artist. And I on Monday tried to figure out, okay, how is she doing this? And I literally just said, Just watch it and see what happens. And literally, all she does is pop through the little holes, and she can go through any hole in the metal fence. You know, metal fence with bars, right? Iron fence. She can go through any of those little holes, go through the courtyard, and then get out through there and get to the street. So what I do, I went out yesterday, got a stake and put it in the ground, got a long leash. Dog should be good, right? The dog should be fine for right now. Dog shit on the damn carpet this morning. Wasn't really thrilled about that. This dog, I really don't like this dog. I just be honest with you. I just don't like this dog. I just right now, outside of just being a dog, there's just no redeeming qualities with this damn dog. It's old. She just wants to sit around and chill. And I'm like, you got a 12-year-old dog. Okay, cool. So congratulations. Did you get insurance on this damn dog? Because I hear the dog wheezing like he's been fucking, she's been smoking like menthol cigarettes or something. Like this dog wheezes like, and it, you know, and certain dogs, I understand, like they have their snouts like that. So I totally get that. But the dog sometimes sounds like she's like, it's been tough.
my family. You know, I had one dog. My dad's from one side of the tracks. My mom's from another side. They were just trying to get together because they were in love, but our families rejected it. Now here I am.
Okay, anyway, so we had that, right? And so the other thing that I wanted to talk about is I'm venting today. I'm venting a little bit today. I'm looking at a couple of things off my chest. So here's the fun one, right? So you guys know that I have been into my health thing, and I'm trying to be, you know, a lot more healthier, and I'm trying to work out, and that's really starting to become a part of my routine. And so on Monday, I decided I was going to go running, right? And so my 10-year-old daughter, she doesn't have homework because they have the STARS exam. For those who aren't in Texas, it's kind of like a mandatory test that kids must take. And she's in fifth grade, so, you know, you got to pass this in order to go to sixth grade. So she doesn't have any homework. And I was telling her, well, I'm getting ready to go out and run. So she decides, she's like, hey, can I run with you? And I'm thinking, okay. And I say run. By the way, I apologize. I said jog. And I told her there's a difference between jogging and running. Runners, I do not want to offend you. I am not on your level. I am not a runner. I am not a runner. I am a jogger. I jog and then do a fast walk, then jog and do a fast. You know, I just catch my breath and then go at it again. So that's what I do, right? And we end up doing a little over 2 miles on Monday. But here's the thing. This is what's crazy about this. This is the BS of life, right? So she decides she wants to run with me. She's 10 years old. She's never ran before. And then all of a sudden, I realize that I'm running with some damn future Olympian who could be on the damn Cedar Park High School cross country team this damn year because she's freaking amazing. So here I am. I'm trying to run, right? And jog. Excuse me. Damn it. I'm trying to jog. And she's keeping up with me. Now, guys, and people, one thing people always say when they meet me, they're like, actually, you're a lot taller than I thought you were because you only see a mug of me. But, you know, I am 6'2". So she's below 5 feet. This little heifer is with me step for step. Like, she's like taking her long strides, too. And I'm like, okay, how's she keeping up? And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm trying to hit a point where I'm like, okay, let's just kind of slow it down and get to a walk. I'm like, how you feeling, baby? She's like, I'm good. She's just bouncing around like she had an energy drink, right? Some energy drink and a pixie sticks. And she's just feeling like, oh, she's just amazing. And like, boom, 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 just bouncing, all full of life. Hasn't been on a bad date yet. You know what I'm saying? Hasn't been through life yet. Hasn't had an art. Just no bills. You know that kind of happiness you have in childhood when you had no bills? Like before you ever had to pay bill and before you now appreciate why your mama used to always tell you to turn off the goddamn electricity because of da-da-da-da-da. And that's where she's just so full of life. So we're running. And she's good. Now, she started getting a little tired when I was getting a little tired. But, you know, you get your stamina back and we kept going. So we finally hit where we're going to be at the end of the run. She's like, you ready to run? I was like, no, we're going to do something more special than that. And so I told her when we get to our block and we're on the main street. And then, not main street, but, you know, we live off a side street. I said, we're going to get there. And I said, we're going to close out strong. We're going to do a sprint to the house. Sprint to the house is like 5 doors down. So, you know, it's nothing crazy, right? And she's like, okay, bruh, why the hell was I running against Florence Griffin? Like, how am I up against FloJo? What the hell was that? I am telling you, I got to check her DNA. I'm from a blended family, but I promise you she's got some Jamaican runner in her. Like, she's Jamaican. She is not some kid who was born out in what did they say, Portland or something like that. She's Jamaican because her little ass was sprinting. And I'll tell you, I was like, for a second, I was like, okay, this is a joke. And then I realized, like, no, this thing is life. Like, this is serious. Like, this young girl is about to beat your ass, Dad. So, you know, I had to try to put it on a little bit. But I'm telling you, it wasn't like I was ever fast in life as it was. And here's the thing. I'm trying to do this gingerly because I don't want to tear anything. Like, I don't want to be like softball guy. You guys know this. Like, softball guy is that person who decides at the company, decides he's going to join a softball team. And then he says, like, oh, he's going to go all out. But he's starting to work muscles that haven't been worked in years and years. He's starting to spark muscles that have been dormant for years. And then softball guy, by the time he rounds first, his damn ACL, LCL, MCL is all gone. He's ripped ligaments, in his ankle or pulled a hamstring. Like, softball guy, that's what happened to softball guy. So I'm not trying to be softball guy. I'm just trying to be a guy who's like in some sort of shape. But I realized that my daughter and try to be competitive, because now she's like, she's sizing me up. Because now she's like, oh, my dad's weak. So, you know, I was able to beat her, but barely. And here's the thing. She wants to run with me again. So she wants to run on Wednesday. So you know what that means? The stronger she get, the stronger I get in my running, the stronger she's going to get in her running. You know what that means for me? That means dad's in trouble. So yeah, I got to find a way to slow her down. And she talked about she wants to be competitive and to compete against me. And I was just like, man, not until we do some like hereditary, some DNA, something that proves to me that you're not Jamaican. Because I ain't going to run against no Jamaican. That's all I got to say. And if you got 2% Jamaican in you, but damn it, I can't deal with you. So I need to go pluck a piece of her hair tonight as she's sleeping and then go send it off. Which, by the way, would be totally awkward. So I'm definitely not going to do that. And so, but just so you know, that was a joke. All right. For some of you, this is your favorite time of the show. Are you ready? Pimp Game 101. That's right. It is time for your drunk uncle to give you pimping advice. Some of y'all might call it dating advice, but I call this pimping advice. It's generally geared towards the fellas. I was going to do something for the ladies this week, and I'm going to do that later this week. But I got something for the ladies later this week. But the fellas, I'm going to start off with y'all because, you know, y'all are predominantly my audience. But we'll grow it. We'll grow with the ladies. You know, we'll do a mixer. Now, we ain't going to do a mixer. Oh, San Antonio memories for some folks. Anyway, Pick Game 101. Here's what we're going to focus in on this week. Out of town pimping. Oh, yes. We're going to talk about out of town pimping. Fellas, you ever been out, going to maybe on a business meeting? Maybe you've been out of town to hang out with some friends? You know, whatever reason that you ended up being out of town. Maybe you were getting ready to get in the airport and you met somebody in the airport and then she's going one way and you're going another, right? You're about to depart and she's taking a flight back home. And all of a sudden you realize you have an attraction to somebody, but that person does not live in your state. Or maybe you live in Austin, but she lives in Dallas or Houston or even further away. Where now all of a sudden, this is not just we're going out at night, and I'll pick you up or something like that. All of a sudden, this becomes intentional. Fellas, let me tell you a couple of things. Don't shy away from out-of-town pimping. Out-of-town pimping could be very, very profitable. I find it to be one of the better pimp games that is out there. Because if you play it right, and if you go a little bit slow, you have an advantage because every time you see this person, it's pretty much a guarantee that it's about to go down. See, you know what I'm saying? Like, fellas, understand this. If you meet somebody from out of town and they decide that they're going to get on a plane to come down and see you, they've already made up in their mind it's about to go down. Your job is not to F it up. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what that comes to. If she decides she's going to drive in from Dallas or Houston or to a certain degree to San Antonio, and she's going to maybe spend the weekend, she's already made up in her mind, yes, it's probably going to go down. She's not getting that car and fueling up for the gas. She's not getting on that plane unless she's feeling you. She's not doing it for a first date. You understand what I'm saying? So, here's a couple of things. If you want to be a gentleman and your cash flow is right, these are two different things. Two things you got to have if you're going to go that route. Be a gentleman and say, hey, offer to fly her down. All right? No. Because we're going gentlemen. You know, we're going to treat her to something that she's never been treated to before. So you're going to offer to bring her in. If she is from out of town, and let's say she's Houston or something like that. Then, you know, you have her driving. But you, what we're going to do in that process is make sure she feels comfortable. So here's the other thing, fellas. Here's one thing we start off with. Our starting point is not going to be, and if you say, okay, I can't do that, then the offer, when she starts talking, say, hey, I could get you a hotel if you would feel more comfortable. Now, it would be just her option, because now all of a sudden she feels like she's in control. She feels like she could be in a safe place. She feels like it's a safe place to go. She may not ever stay there. She may not even take you up on the offer, but go ahead and offer it. And now, fellas, obviously, don't be cheap. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be cheap. Don't put her down way down in South Austin or I mean, don't put her in a nice place. I'm not saying you got to spend a lot of money, but even if it's a damn residence inn, but it's in a downtown of your major city, you're still at least doing a little something, even if it's like a residence inn. Get on Priceline, see if you can negotiate. I don't know. And then here's the thing. So you already know how I feel. You know, you already know my dating advice. You know how I feel about PEDs. You better use PEDs. It's the first time she's getting on a plane. She told her girlfriends that she's coming down to meet you. She's told, you know, a lot of her friends that she's coming down to meet you. And the last thing you want to do is, we're not going to be a 1 minute man here. We're not going to be a minute A. PEDs, performance enhancing drugs. Go get your male stuff and be good to go. That's all right. And then, once you get past the weekend, because I've already given you all the other tools and all the other podcasts on how to wine and dine and romance and all that type of stuff. Remember, you know, can't have no romance without finance. So if you kind of broke, we'll work with you. We'll get to that in a second. Just be careful, though. You just got to slow play it. So here's what do you mean, Junko, about slow playing it? Okay, so check this out. You made her from out of town and you like her and she's cool, right? But then all of a sudden, you find yourself talking to her every night on FaceTime, or every night you guys are, you know, exchanging something. Now, here is, while that's good, in some ways, it's detrimental in others. Because now you run the risk of Friday night, you and your boys want to go out for happy hour, but she's so used to hearing from you, how's that go? And then you and your boys went out and had some drinks. You came home, you were kind of sleepy, you was tired, it was a long week, and you decide you're just going to crash, wake up in the morning, or you just pass out, but then she hasn't heard from you, because she's so used to hearing from you, because you trained her, and you told her, like, you should expect to hear from me by this time, and if she hasn't heard from you, then she's going to start getting that panic woman mode of, oh, well, who's he sleeping with, and then here I am in this messed up, da-da-da-da relationship and da-da-da-da-da. So that's why I say slow play. You got to make sure when you're communicating with her, we're not just going all out all the time, dude. We're giving her a couple of days a week. Hey, we're cool. We're good. But until you really feel like, hey, this could be something that we're both moving to different cities for, and be careful. To be careful. Because now you got to deal with, You're here in, last thing I'll say, you're here in your city and you're tied to something that you're really not 100% committed to, but you're kind of semi committed yourself to it because you've talked to her so often on a regular basis and she's used to the schedule. So, and now you almost feel like if you go out and get a little something here in town that you're cheating, right? So that's why I'm saying, like, just be clear in your communications. And it's something like that. You probably can't do this for years. But for the short term, you can have a lot of fun. All right. There's your pimp game, one-on-one advice, long-term relationships, long-distance relationships, which could turn into long-term if you play your cards right. I think I was engaged to somebody who lived. Yeah. What are the people I was engaged to? There's been so many. I'm real good at the acquisition. I'm telling you, the acquisition is my expertise. Retention. That's where I fail. Retention is where I suck. Acquisition? Oh, I got you. It's just retention. You better go to somebody else because I ain't good at that. I'm just, I know how to recruit. I just don't know how to coach. All right. So on Sunday, I resisted the urge. And there's something that people do in our business all the time. And it really, I consider it somewhat cliche and I consider it a little bit lazy. And that is the spring game preview. And it inevitably, it happens every year and it is so corny. I try to do my best for not trying to get into certain things that are considered cliche. For instance, I don't do anything that has numbers, like five things to look out for here, 15, whatever, da, da, blah, 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 15. Not, and again, I'm not talking about Ketch because Ketch has had his 10 thoughts from the weekend for years. So it has nothing to do with that. So don't go there. But the Bleacher Report model of journalism is something I've always resisted. And I try to just do your own thing and don't follow the pack. And so I didn't want to do the spring football preview and then write out the position by position stuff, which is, it's just boring. So I decided that instead of doing it and writing that and putting that in a print form, that I would do this on the podcast. I think I have a little bit more fun with it, a little more interaction with it, a little more engaging, and it just won't be the typical what you're used to hearing. So what I'm going to do is give you the offense in this podcast. I'll give you the defense in the next podcast. And then we'll have the spring game over the weekend. And then we'll come back next week and we'll have tons of observations, tons of things to talk about, tons of ways to analyze and break this down. Because we're going to need to do that because we're not going to have anything else for months. And I mean months. And that's going to suck. So let's start when we're talking the spring game preview. Let's start with the obvious. No alcohol, by the way. You know, I have not, I got to be honest with you, I have not drank in a podcast in a while. And I definitely need to get back to that. I've been so busy I've been doing little, like maybe one or two drinks at night. And I mean, after I finish up this podcast and have it sent over, I'm going to go to the gym and try to work the upper body. I figured the running is going to work the lower body. And so I'm going to try to, you know, do some upper body, not, you know, in the weight room type of stuff, light stuff, man. I'm not trying to impress. I do drop weights. You know, guys know what drop weights are. When you do it, I'm pretty sure I do. I'm calling this correct, right? Let's say you do a bicep curl 25 times, not 25 times. Let me take it back. Take 25 pounds, do a bicep curl like 10 times, drop, then do 20 pounds and do that 10 and then drop and then do 25, 15, 10, right? Just, and you do that and you do like three sets of that. And so that's where you get some of your more, you know, some really good results that way. So I'm going to be doing things like that. I ain't trying to get on the bench and hurt myself. Quarterback. This one's easy. This one is easy because Sam Ehlinger. I mean, start there. Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. Like, it's Sam Ehlinger. It's interesting. I talked to Tim Beck on Tuesday, and I was one of the, obviously, the many reporters who spoke to him. And one of our posters brought up something that I thought was really, you know, I appreciate the Obi board because people remember stuff that I forget, but there's so many people out there. And one of the posters brought up a really astute point that I wish I remembered going into writing my column. Do you guys remember last spring that the offense was at a point where it needed the defense to run a base defense in order for the offense to catch up? In order for the offense to be able to install, they couldn't do anything special. And that was kind of a big story. That was something that we talked about a lot and how that affects UT and how that affects the defense and how that can slow down the defense and have those kind of ramifications. And what's interesting as we talk about this year is that the last two scrimmages, the offense has won. And just think about it. Just think about that concept for a second. Two scrimmages have been won by the offense. And the last scrimmage was reportedly an ass-whooping by the offense. An ass-whooping. I heard some, you know, good sources. One of my friends was out there. He saw some stuff. It was like, man, it was like Debo type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? It was like Debo kind of getting your butt, like, you just got knocked on what out. It was like that type of stuff. And when I talked to Beck about it and kind of asked him about it, he said, you know, even though Sam didn't play in the first scrimmage, the success has a lot to do with him. And the thing that I worry about this season is that Sam Ehlinger is so good. And how good is he? I believe Sam Ehlinger is probably the best quarterback in the Big 12. I need to see a little bit more of Jalen Hurts and how they work that offense around him. But right now, I probably got my money on Sam. And my concern is, because any of you say he's number two, right? My concern is that he'll be taken for granted. That he is so good and so talented and has done so much that it's so easy to just take him for granted and just be like, oh, well, Sam, that's what Sam does. And oh, that's what Sam, you know, that's who he is. And it's like you have to almost go back to, don't forget that this kid has come a long way from that freshman year, a long way from some of those ill-advised interceptions and the fumbles and just the struggles that he had. And so if Sam has been responsible for the success of the offense and for the next 2 years, that should be the deal. And I think Sam Ehlinger, we cannot praise that young man enough. My concern is he won't get enough praise, but Sam Ehlinger was able to do, from that quarterback perspective, just speaks volume, because now you got the franchise guy and then everyone else can fill in. So from a spring game perspective, obviously, you're going to want to see what Casey Thompson does. I mean, that's key for me. Look, Sam, the one thing about Sam is, thinking back to high school, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. No fault of his own. That's just his style of play. He's a rough guy, and these type of injuries happen. And if Casey's Thompson, I get it. You know, they're going to say, hey, it's just one practice, but they feel pretty good about what he's been able to do and what he's been able to accomplish. And I've heard, you know, you continue to hear positive things and good things about Casey Thompson. So as we progress, we want to definitely see him. And Roschon Johnson, you know, as they say, he's playing as a freshman, and so he's making those freshman mistakes, but there's something about Roschon that's intriguing to me. Something about Roschon that just makes me believe that this young man could be the real deal, the truth, in a couple of years. There's just something about when I speak to him, when I hear things about him, when I hear Sam Ehlinger being happy about him and praising him. There's something I feel like when this young man gets it down, I think in another 2 years, but once Sam is gone, I'm not ready to say that Casey Thompson is automatically going to be that dude. We'll see what happens. Time will tell. But I'm just not 100% ready on that. But the QB room, the QB perspective, this is all in the bonus at this point, because they have, you know, once you have Sam Ehlinger, anything past that is a plus. And as long as Casey Thompson is serviceable, and as long as Casey Thompson is able to do the damn thing and look good and not have turnovers, and then I think you feel a little bit more comfortable. Again, it's going to be one practice, so you can't get too high or too low under it. But Casey Thompson hasn't really played under the lights probably since high school. So this will be a new experience. It'll be the first time he's taken snaps in front of thousands of people. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that whole thing goes over. All right, the running backs. You guys know, you listened to me long enough, you guys know I've been pumping up Jordan Whittington for quite a while. You guys know I have been pumping this young man up, just because, one, when I saw him play in high school, then I saw his film, I just thought to myself, like, this dude is just legit. I mean, this guy is amazing. And yes, but look, all I needed to know past that was, you're going to tell me this guy is the offensive and defensive MVP in a state championship game in the great state of Texas? I don't need to know anything else. I know this guy can do whatever the hell he wants to do, whenever the hell he wants to do it. And Jordan Whittington, Tim Beck said, hey, that's kind of been one of his biggest surprises for spring ball. And one of the things he's most happiest about. And now all of a sudden, this running back room, which a couple of years ago, think about this. A couple of years ago, the running back room, the leading rusher was Sam Ehlinger. Wrap your head around that. Then last year, you have Trey Watson and Keyonte. And now you're hearing great things about Keyonte, about him adding weight, about his ability to cut and make plays. Tim Beck talked about how Keyonte has been a guy now who's been able to make somebody miss. And then he's been able to make someone miss and then have a long gain. You combine him with Jordan Whittington, and I'm telling you, it's pretty much lightning and lightning at this point. No, forget the thunder and lightning. It looks like lightning and lightning. Because that's how good these guys appear to be. And then once you get past that, you got to hope that that Kirk Johnson comes back and he's healthy and he's able to contribute. And then we'll see past that. Daniel Young is still there, but it seems like Jordan Whittington is starting to pass him a little bit. And look, Daniel Young was serviceable, don't get me wrong, but there's playmakers, and this is one thing that Tim Beck talked about. He's like, they needed people. This is one of their biggest emphasis was playmakers. And you guys know I've been on that thing. You guys know I have been on the whole, this team has got to have playmakers situation. And it looks like, especially from the running back perspective, where last year you were just kind of like, okay, they got some serviceable guys to make it kind of okay. Now you look like they've got some people who can take it to the house. Now it's going to be up to Stan Drayton with that rotation to stay with the hot hand and just not go away from it. If they can do that, and it didn't look like Tom Herman shortened up the rotation last year, but if they can do that, oh boy, a lot of slow singing, a lot of flower bringing. Okay, offensive line. This one is an interesting one for me, interesting in a good way, because the one thing about this offensive line is, of course, they're losing people. You're going to lose your Calvin Anderson. Obviously, you're going to lose your Elijah Rodriguez. But they've got guys who are capable of filling in. And this is a team that has got some guys where it looks to me and it appears to me that it's not just, okay, you've got guys who can fill in, but it's more about they've got talented guys on the offensive line, that there's a real offensive line battle that's going on. You got your Zach Shackelford, who's considered a team leader. You got your Sam Cosmi, that's considered a future team leader. And Derek Kerstetter is going to be a person that everyone relies upon. But then you've got some other things working. First and foremost, before I even talk about Denzel Okafor, who's been looking really good, I put this in the war room last week. Junior Angelau is pushing, man. Like, Junior is pushing. Like, I've heard some good things behind the scenes about Junior. He's a guy, if you're going to watch the offensive line, whether you're watching it live, you're going to watch it on film, just keep your eye on him, because I continue to hear positive things about him. But Tope Amadi, he's obviously a guy in the mix. Denzel Okafor is a guy that's in the mix. And another one, Christian Jones. Hear lots of good positive things about Christian Jones. So you've got a group of guys, and even JP has not been too bad, and Rafidi, they feel really good about his potential down the line as far as a guy who could be the center next year. They feel really good about the offensive line. And again, you know, it's going to be the first team offensive line against the second team defensive line. So they should have their way. They should dominate. That's what you should expect to see. But you still want to go out there. You still want to see it. And you want to see a team that's going out there and being nasty and getting into it and doing what they need to do in order to make sure that this is an area of strength. And because it's been years, right? I mean, last year was the first year you probably felt pretty good. about the offensive line, and then I got to fill some holes this year. But it seems like it's going to be filled with guys who have quality, who've been in the system, who've been in Yancey McKnight's strength and conditioning program. There is a lot of positives as far as the offensive line is concerned. And again, it's been a long time since you've been able to say that. But those are the things I'm just going to be watching from the offensive line, is just, you know, the protection, seeing how they protect Sam Ehlinger, obviously seeing the kind of holes that they open for the running backs, the tailbacks that are going to be back there. So that's kind of the main thing that I want to be watching, engaging from the offensive line, which, by the way, I sure hope that Jordan Whittington gets to run with the ones on Saturday, because I would love to be able to see what he does with that, as opposed to having to just see what he may do with the twos against the first team defense. That's not fair. But again, they say he's making guys miss and he's doing the damn thing. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes down. This one, you know, we don't talk enough about him. R. Long loves to talk about him, but the tight ends and Andrew Beck, my best friend, Andrew Beck, is going to be really hard to replace. Now, not a lot of people thought that before the season last year. And it's okay. It's okay. Some people come around. Catches come around. He's, you know, on more than one occasion, he's been willing to acknowledge that I was probably more right than wrong about that situation. And I appreciate that. It's pretty, really big of him. And then we get into the tight end room this year, and Cade Brewer is the guy that they seem to be all chips in on. Confident in Cade Brewer as a blocker. They're confident in Cade Brewer as a pass catcher. So extreme confidence in Cade Brewer and what he's able to bring. Now the question is, I wouldn't be able to see it for myself. I heard he's made in practice, what was it, the other week, they said he made like some spectacular grabbing a ball off a guy's back type of catch. So you're like, uh-oh, okay, that sounds good. But I definitely want to keep my eye on him. And you know the other guy really, and Jared Wallace having a good camp, but Reese Leto, I hope it's Leto or Latau. I probably should know this. Actually, I got the Texas roster up. Let me see if I can hit. Leto. I said it right. Leto. I want to see him. You know, he's a guy that clearly, for obvious reasons, was buried last year, and we didn't get a chance to see a lot of him. But I want to see what this young man looks like, especially now he's got the chance to play more. He's expected to play more. He's expected to be a part of the of some sort of rotation. Like there's definitely belief that Reese is going to be good. So let's see what he offers. And I'm very, very curious to see how he looks. And Jared Wiley is a guy that, you know, tall. And Tim Beck said three of these guys are meeting their expectations. This means a hats off to what Derek Wareheim. I mean, it looks like it. Looks like it. Time to give Derek Wareheim some damn respect. So definitely, obviously, going to keep an eye on the two main people for me, and unless Jared makes some sort of splash play, as I want to see what Cade does, and of course I want to see what Reese does when given the opportunity. And last but not least, and I'm saving the best for last, these receivers. Oh my goodness, it is. You don't want to hype it up. You don't want to hype it up too much. You don't want to overcook it. You don't want to sell it too much. But man, these receivers have the potential to be some studs, some absolute studs. Now, first and foremost, I don't know if even Colin Johnson's even going to play there on Saturday. My guess would be no. What's there to benefit? Just keep him shut down, right? For a while. But and I think that may have been communicated, so I apologize for that. But you got other guys like Brennan Eagles, who has been taking advantage of his opportunities, and Brennan Eagles has really stood out and has really caught the attention of the staff. And like, they've always been high on Brennan Eagles, but this happens to be a year where he's putting it together and everyone has positive things to say about Brennan Eagles. So you want to see him. You guys want to see Malcolm Epps. I know you'd be like, okay, you've written about Malcolm Epps. And I didn't say Malcolm X, but you've written about Malcolm Epps time and time and time again, and talked about how good he is time and time and time again. And like, at some point you say, okay, I got to see it. You say this man doesn't drop a pass. Let's see it. But when you see Malcolm Epps, man, you're going to say to yourself, my course, this guy is huge. I mean, you're not gonna. It's not like Shaq type of huge. I'm just talking about long, like a basketball player kind of huge. But you're gonna have the opportunity to see him, the Joshua Moores of the world. I want to look more at Avante Woodard. He's a guy that Tim Beck kind of praised on Tuesday. But when you just look at it, and of course, Jordan Matthews. I mean, he's good. Of course, why did I? Here I am. Oh, silly me. Brew McCoy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm naming these names to you, and you're saying to yourself, yep, yep, oh, yeah, oh, hell yeah. That's where we're at right now, and that's what that receiver room is looking like right now because they've got some studs that are there. And look, and you got receivers who are out there giving some DB some work. I mean, they're giving them that work. And so if that's happening, you just want to be able to see, okay, what does it look like? How does that look shape up for me? So I want to see Malcolm Epps in more of a game environment for sure. Brendan Eagles is a guy clearly, and of course, Brew McCoy. I already know about these other guys and what they're able to do, like a Joshua Moore. But definitely seeing a guy like Brew McCoy, it just what he's able – and to accomplish, you know, we're still waiting for the waiver and for him to get cleared. But that's the anticipation is that he will get cleared. But being able to see what he can contribute and potentially contribute as a freshman in what is a very, very, very crowded room. I mean, just talking about a very crowded room is going to be interesting to see how that entire thing shapes up. But you know the guys that I'm looking at from an offense perspective. And I just want to make sure that the offense – you know, leaves off where we saw them, picks up rather from where we saw them in the Sugar Bowl. And again, I know they've had practices. I know that they've been practicing, but it's a little bit of a different environment with the scrimmage and under the lights in front of, who knows, 50,000 people might maybe show up, 60,000, I don't know. And so you want to see how those guys handle that pressure, how they handle being under the lights. And you get the feeling, especially from the receiver group, that it's not going to be a problem. But you still are, if you're a Texas fan, you're excited to see them just because of all the positive things you've heard about them and all the potential that these guys have. I know potential is always a deadly word, but it definitely applies in this case. Guys, that's it. Next podcast, next episode, I'm going to talk about the defense and kind of dive into that. And that's going to be an interesting conversation because this, for me, is a lot of guesswork that's going on. Like it's interesting. I'm going to get into, I'll save a little bit more, but for those who are wanting to pencil Texas in into the CFP and being a Big 12 champion, you've got to know what this defense looks like before you can even go there. And we're going to find out a little bit more about this entire defense, by this weekend, but we'll definitely get into that in the next couple of days. So until we speak again, you guys wish me luck running with a 10-year-old who's now seemingly become my fitness coach. Wish me luck with this damn dog. Damn dog's name Coco. Mutt, I don't even know. Jungle Fever, Mutt is all I know. And then we will pick it up later on this week. All right, guys. You guys have a great week. I have a horrible intro because outro because I actually don't have an outro. So all I have to say is my outro sucks. And you guys have a fantastic rest of your week. Bye.